Hey, welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm your host, MG. Bear is not here at the moment. He is sick. He is in the hibernating cave. And, you know, we're going to hear from him probably next week. Sorry we weren't here last week. We had a little bit of a snafu. We were sick. I was leaving, went to Chicago. Burr, it was chilly up there. But we're going to have a really good show for you today. Before I break into it, we open the entire show with History Repeating Parts 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. Really awesome. Off, I think, either the Red or the Blue album. Really awesome band. If you haven't heard of them, you haven't been listening to the show. If you're new to the show, I've got some information for you. We are online. We have a website where we have all of our audio streamable. We're also streamable on iTunes and on Stitcher. If you want to look us up, it's the Experience Points radio show. Online, our website is exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We're also on social media like Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, Steam Community, all that stuff. You can reach us at exppoints.com/social. You can like us, subscribe to us, tweet us, follow us, do anything that you want. Please hit all of the buttons, like all the things. And if you'd like what we do so much that you would like to throw copious amounts of money at us, you could do that as well. We have PayPal donate buttons, and we have Patreon donation links where Bear and I will make cupcakes. We will name them after you, and we will eat them, and we will sing sailor-like songs and send you the video for $5. We really work for almost peanuts here. So we are going to cut to another two songs, come back, and introduce two new people, temporary for now, but maybe permanent. We don't know. This is Professor Shy Guy off the Rated Heart album Mining Craft and Broken Bride Part 1 from Ludo on Southeastern Zone Experience Points. Catch you after the break. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, and I'm still MG. That was Broken Bride, Part 1 from Ludo off of the Broken Bride soundtrack. Really awesome. Entire, like, album, actually. I think it's like a 40-minute long CD. And they it's I think it was their first. And it was really, really good. I remember listening to the entire thing. It's a full concept album about a time-traveling scientist trying to go back in time and save his wife from dying. Ends up going back to, like, the dinosaur era, then going forward into, like, a zombie apocalypse, saving all of these people, and then finally being reunited with the wife he lost and that he loved, and making a terrible decision at the end when he realizes that there's nothing you can do to change things sometimes. And then before that, Professor Shy Guy off of the Rated Heart album, Mining Craft. I actually kickstarted that, which is really nice. This is normally the era or the point of the show where we talk about what we did last week, or in this case, the last 2 weeks. But since we weren't here last week, you know, and since Bear's not here this week, we're sort of going to skip that. I'm going to say some stuff about what I did last week, sort of gaming-related and not gaming-related. But we also have two new people on the show. They are sort of fill-ins for Bear, because right now Bear is sick, like I said. We have Garth and we have Chet. Garth, what's going on, man?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chet, what's happening?
Hi, Matt.
These are people that I work with. You may recall way back in the day, flashback, we had Russell and we had Cap on the show, and in addition to Chase or Bear. And I thought that worked really well. So now, sort of as a stand-in, we have Garth and Chet. They are both computer-inclined nerds and geeks. And we're very happy to have you, so welcome to the show. Garth, what's your background? What's your background in, like, computers or in nerddom or in comics? Or what do you do?
Hey, Matt. I'm 19. I'm originally from Las Vegas, just moved here last summer, and I am a computer science student at Southeastern. I enjoy playing video games in my spare time. My favorite is League of Legends. I spend almost every night, much of my weekend playing it. Last week, I have been frantically studying for my Calculus 2 test, so that has been taking up most of my time. But I will be planning to get back to League of Legends this weekend.
Do you think that you anticipate there being, like, any changes in League of Legends in your, like, 2 weeks off or a week off? Oh, we're going to add another lane to this map. Oh, we're going to add another map to this. It'll be the same thing over and over and over again. How long have you been playing League of Legends?
Oh, I've been playing League of Legends for the past 2 years. There have been a number of changes. Every time I stop playing the game for more than 2 weeks, I get back in, I immediately lose tons of matches.
Oh, okay. Well, very cool. You, someone has to do it. Someone has to play League of Legends. I'm not going to. Chet, what's up? What do you do?
I've played League. I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, me too. Welcome. Well, the struggle is real, man.
Yep.
Cool. What other games are you playing? You playing?
Man, I've played way too many MMOs.
Yeah? That's failed MMOs or just too many MMOs? Like, Because I played
spent too much time on the MMOs.
I played Tabula Rasa and Hellgate London and like a lot of these MMOs where it's like, it'll be around forever. 2 months later, Sony Online is like, yeah, we're gonna take this down. We're gonna completely cancel this out.
Yep.
Well, cool. Glad to have you guys here. We are going to come back to these guys in the main segment. We're talking about games that they retain their value long after they have been released, long after they have been, I guess, officially supported, because they're unofficially supported by the community. As far as what I did last week, went to Chicago. It was cold. We flew into sort of a quote-unquote blizzard, though all of the Chicago people said that that wasn't a blizzard. But it was like negative 20, or not negative 20. It was like 20 degrees. It was snowing. Using Uber. Chet, you were actually the one that told me about Uber.
Uber's amazing.
Uber's amazing. And I'm not saying that you should take an Uber, but I'm saying that in my experiences with Uber, I think we rode Uber like 4 or 5 times. It was pretty nice. We got a broad spectrum of people, though. We got the person who was foreign, you can understand. So not to profile, but almost every taxi cab driver I've ever had in my life. Two, we had super cool guy who's like chill. He was driving us around in like a turbo car or whatever, like a Mazda or a Subaru type turbo little micro car. And he was like, I don't make a lot of money off of this. I'm in between jobs. I quit my other one. This is just like whatever. And then we had like the family mom in the big giant mega van. And then we had the super political old man that we couldn't tell anything to. And who was a staunch supporter of someone I'm not going to mention because politics, but enjoyed that. Went to a place. It was really, really neat. It was and tell me if you guys like think it would work here in like Hammond, where Casey's based. But it was this place called Level 257, and it was a Pac-Man video game themed bowling bar like arcade thing. It served like premium food, like steaks and Italian cuisine and everything. Big Italian Polish thing up in Chicago, but there was giant, you know, inflated and wall mounted Pac-Man and Blinky and, you know, like all the ghosts. And then they had an entire bar section, you know, with alcohol. Then they had an entire arcade section with old classic games, and then also with new games. And then they had probably, I don't know, like maybe 15 bowling alleys and a gift shop. This thing was awesome. The reason it was called Level 257 for some trivia. This is trivia. So in level in Pac-Man, there's only like 255 or 256 levels. The last level, 256, I think, is all super messed up. Like it's super screwed up. Half the level like is weird, just gibberish, and it keeps you from going to the next level, Level 257. So they decided to make Level 257 the name of the thing so that you can finally get to that level. You can come up on our level. This is Level 257. It's pretty funny.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, we went there. It was fun. But anyway, that was my week. I've been playing a lot of old games, which sort of brought about this topic that we're going to talk about after the break. So we're going to cut to two songs. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about that. This is Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. And then we're going to wrap it up with Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcore. We'll see you after the break. I'm MG. This is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey,
so good. Got to sometimes feel like, oh my God.
Hey, welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG. You just heard Critical Hit by MC Frontalot. Before that, Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcore. And we open the entire thing up with Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. This is the segment of the show, the main segment of the show, where we are going to talk about sort of saving money. Everyone likes to save money. Like, I think that's a big point once you become an adult, is to try to save money. And as nerds, as geeks, we spend a lot of money on a few choice things. Ramen, that's like a number one staple. Coffee to keep us awake, or energy drinks. We spend money on stupid merchandise that we go to cons. We spend money on the cons. We do things like Loot Crate or like Geekbox or things like that and get little knick-knacky stuff. And then we spend a ton of money on other things, like things that we keep and we love forever. Things like comic books, things like DVDs or Blu-rays, unless you're one of those people. You know the people I'm talking about, the people that go to things like the Pirate Bay. I'm talking about you, Kanye. And then you've also got people that spend a ton of money on video games, whether they are classic video games like cartridge or disc-based games that you can't get anywhere else, you can't get in a digital format, or whether it's fully digital, you know, through Steam or through Uplay or through Humble Bundle or anything like that, good old games, things like that. You spend a ton of money on games. We're going to talk about the latter because it's a depressing thing whenever you look at your Steam worth, right? You guys have heard of this, right? Steam worth, a Steam calculator.
It's how much you've spent on games.
It's how much you've spent on Steam games, yeah. And I think I went on there and it was in the thousands. It was an extreme amount. And the nice thing about this, or the not so nice thing about this, is that while it shows you how much you've spent, it does take into account, like, you know, sales and if you bought it 40% off or 10% off or whatever. But then also next to it sort of shows you how much you've played it, how many hours you've played it. And it gives you some statistics, a breakdown sort of what you've wasted your time on the most or what you've wasted your money on the most, sort of the inverse, because when you look at how much you've spent, I think it was something like 24 or 42, I can't remember, it's like 24 or 4200 on games, and you've only played the top five games over, you know, say 8 hours. 8 hours is not a long time to spend on a video game, I think, right? I mean,
nope.
You know, you said you MMOs. When was the last slash played?
I have never, ever doing that.
You've never done slash played in WoW?
I don't want to know.
No? I can only imagine how long you've played League of Legends, Garth. I mean, we spend a lot of time playing games. The nice thing is that, you know, I guess with the exception of slash played, and I'm sure there's some global statistic on League, it's not in your face so often. But it's no lie. We spend a lot of money on games. We spend a lot of time on games. And to maximize our return on investment, we're getting businessy now. To maximize that return on investment, we have to make with limited funds. If we were all Donald Trump, we had $1 billion or whatever, however many millions of dollars he has, or if we had just like a gift card or something, a lot of money, we could just buy whatever games we want. We wouldn't be having this conversation. But let's assume we have a static amount of money. We don't have a lot. Let's just say we're going to save and save and save because we know E3 season's coming up. Mm-hmm. We know holiday season's coming up. We know that we are going to get in this segment typically before the summer where games aren't being released. We're sort of there now. Where just new games aren't being released. There's no upcoming games that are super, super crazy. And if there are, they're going to be $60 to $80. So we need to save a little bit of money. That's how I opened the entire show. We need to save a little bit of money. And the way to do that, I think, is to look at some of the games in this extreme back catalog of all the games that have ever been created in the history of history. Look at that back catalog and make some decisions on what games sort of will keep you interested the longest for the least amount of money. But that's hard, too, because, you know, I'm a big Mega Man fan. Y'all are new to the show, but I'm a big Mega Man fan. But it's hard to play the old Mega Man games. And yet there is such this big want for these new Mega Man games or these old Mega Man games on modern platforms. We just see the Legacy Collection be released on Xbox One and PS4 and probably on Wii U. I'm not sure. There are plenty of digital versions of older games being released on the Wii U console or the Wii console or whatever it's called.
Virtual console.
The virtual console. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not a Wii gamer. But we see a lot of re-releases and a lot of remixes, HD remixes and everything. So just to bring them up so they can play on a modern day console. But for PC gamers, which I am primarily a PC gamer, there are a ton of games. Some of those games, in fact, I would even say most of those games, they don't convert up very well. You can't reach into the past and pull a game kicking and screaming to the future and say, now you will get played. I will play you now and I will enjoy you. Because games have sort of changed, right? Our perception, at least, have changed from games, right? 2, 3, 4 years ago, graphics were so completely different. I think we'd agree. PS2 was a really successful console. But the PS2 graphics versus the PS3 and the PS4 graphics pale in comparison. They are so much better now than they were then. And if we were to go back and play a then game now, we notice that change much bigger or much, much more prevalently. So, I mean, think about GoldenEye, the original Nintendo 64 GoldenEye. You've played it, right?
Yes.
You've played
yes.
it, Chet?
I played the hell out of that game.
Right. So GoldenEye was a really, really, really good game on your 12-inch TV with four-player split screen with your RAM upgrade, you know? Play that now.
It doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up at all. It is muddy. It's bad. It's terrible. The textures are stretched. Big head mode. It's all big head mode. It's all just disgusting. Same with Perfect Dark. Even though there's an Xbox 360 HD remake or HD remix of Perfect Dark, the original, not Perfect Dark Zero or whatever the Xbox 360 one was. We're talking about PC games that have held up thanks to a fantastic community. And whether that's a community that does HD texture reworks or a community of modders that give it more life and breathe life into these older games, or if it was just a good game to start out with and it just held up. There are plenty of games, and we're going to talk about some of them now, so let's just break into it. It doesn't have to be a game necessarily, and we're going to start it off with games that don't have many mods whatsoever. I'm a big RTS fan. Supreme Commander, StarCraft II, even the original StarCraft, admittedly with a graphics tweak to make it full screen and not 640 by 480. You can play those games with friends, you know, LAN play with the exception of StarCraft II. Supreme Commander, One, Forged Alliance, and I believe Supreme Commander 2, maybe not 2, as well as StarCraft, can be played locally, and it's just as good as it was when it was released. Thankfully, Supreme Commander 1 and Forged Alliance have some modding community to them. In StarCraft, there were a ton of mods for the original one. There's even more for StarCraft 2, and thanks to BattleNet, we're able to play with those mods, so that's nice. It's almost like Blizzard is saying, yeah, we know you're going to mod it. Cool, do that, which is really nice. Do y'all play any RTSs whatsoever, or... Kind of, not so much.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. These are games that, you know, it's not, we're not playing for story, obviously. Stories come and they go. Unless it's an MMO, which I guess we could talk about that, because WoW story keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, growing and growing. And they're about to release another expansion, right? Legion, I think, is coming out later this year.
Yeah, I think they said the summer, actually.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be upon us in months. And, you know, if you jump into WoW right now, the entry cost is super low. Free, because you could just start playing. If you like it, the continuing cost is relatively cheap. Let's just say $15 and the cost of admission, I think $20 to get you to -1, the current expansion. And then if you're really good, they did what EVE has done for a while. They allow you to use in-game currency to pay for the next month's rotation, the next month's subscription. So you can, if you are good, if you want to just sink a ton of money, or a ton of time, rather, into this game, you can not sink a ton of money into it. You can just keep playing, which is really, really nice. And it's got a huge community, despite the fact that I think Paragon just quit, one of the big guilds in WoW. So, I said EVE. EVE's a complicated game, but EVE's another game that you can throw a ton of time at, and it will reward you if it's your type of game. There are also games that are free, like WildStar. WildStar is a completely free MMO. And it was backed by NCSoft. You may remember them from Cities of Heroes, Cities of Villains. They did a couple other games, NCSoft, but their big one recently was WildStar. They had a bunch of voice actors from the voice acting community get in, try to make a big impact, and it fell flat. They tried charging for it. I think it's like a freemium sort of thing now.
Did you play it?
Yeah, I did play it.
I did not play
it. It's not bad. I was in the beta, or the alpha, I can't remember, one of the two. And it wasn't bad. It was just, you could tell that they were really trying to compete. It was like WoW, but for people who absolutely love anime, furry, mecha, just like all of these like fringe, fringe sort of...
Niches?
Yeah, niches in a community. And it's a big community. Don't think that I said fetish like it's a negative thing. Like, it's something you like, then cool. But, you know, it had this huge... It definitely had a bigger animation budget, it seemed, than WoW. WoW's characters are very blocky. Not lately. They're very nice now. But WildStar came out of the gate. Granted, it was released 8 years, I think, after WoW. So it was standing on the shoulders of giants for that one. There are some classic games that hold up relatively well because they look so retro, like Duke Nukem 3D. It's probably one of the best first-person shooters ever. Don't confuse this with Duke Nukem Forever. It's Duke Nukem 3D. There are various Doom and Duke Nukem mods out there. Quake has a few Quake mods, Quake 2 and Quake 3 arena mods. Quake 4, you can forget about that. That didn't exist. That never existed. I think it was enemy territory or something. It was really, really bad. but then you also have free first-person shooters, since we're on first-person shooters now. Team Fortress 2. That's the big one. That's the one that you just need Steam to play it. You can get that. You could play that. I think they started releasing some of the older Half-Lives, and maybe it's a sale, maybe it's a temp thing, but they may have released some of those for free. If not, they're super affordable, and you can mod, you know, mail the hell out of those games and just keep playing those games. Then you've also got games like Portal. I think, Garth, you had mentioned that kind of,
yes.
But during the break, you play Portal 2.
Yes.
Describe a little bit about like Portal 2. They don't technically do mods as much as they do like levels, right?
Yeah, they more so do levels. So you run into the game, you have your own puzzles, you make them, they're impossible, you give them to your friends, they try to beat them, they can't beat them, you make even more impossible puzzles for your friends, and they make some puzzles for you, and it's really a lot of fun.
This sort of connects to something else you were talking about on the Wii U, Mario Maker,
yes,
or Mario Level Maker. Or whatever, because I've played a little bit of that game, and it just seems like a ton, like the levels that you beat easily, like any standard Mario level for like the overworld or the underworld, whatever Mario level you play in the game, those are meant to be beaten. Mm-hmm. Some of these that you play from other people, they aren't meant to be beaten, right? Like they're intentionally the hardest thing in the world where you just, there's some trick or there's some weird, I always see it where people like pick up a shell and they bobble the shell for the entire level. And it's just this crazy, there's no floor. Or the floor is lava or fire.
They have to be beatable, though, don't they?
They are beatable. They have to be beatable. They cannot post it without being beatable.
Yes.
But it's like, It's the gauntlet. That's what I feel. It's like a gauntlet. It's like American Gladiator gauntlet the entire time. It's just so ridiculously difficult. Like hard on the it'll give you an ulcer. That's why I feel like it's so hard.
That doesn't sound like fun to me.
Me neither, but apparently it's very fun. It's something. It's the most fun thing in the world, Chet.
Oh,
it's what everyone wants to do. And we're sort of working up to, I guess, the creme de la creme of games that last way longer because of their community. And that's the Elder Scrolls Oblivion, Elder Scrolls Skyrim, the Bethesda games, Fallout 3, Fallout 4. Recently, I've been modding the crap out of Fallout 4. I'm playing Skyrim now with like 25 or 50 mods. I can't remember. There's like, I turn some of them off every now and then. I know it's a big jump, but, and it's a game that came out in 2011. Skyrim did. Came out in 2011. And it's still, I never beat it. I've never beaten Skyrim. It's weird, right? Never beaten it because when I looked at it, I go, man, this is kind of ugly. I don't want to play this game because I bought it after a sale. I didn't jump on the Dovahkiin, you know, train coming in. I bought it after the fact on a sale with the DLC. And there's a huge modding community. Nexus Mods is just going to town. I think 48, almost 50,000 mods for Skyrim. Anything from lore friendly to not lore friendly, anything from naked girls to naked guys to naked animals to crazy new lore friendly swords, katana from, you know, Japan. You got crazy balancing and different character edits and girls with big butts, and you got everything. Anything that you want or don't want. You want enhanced blood? We got enhanced blood. You want gallons of blood? You just chop off somebody's limb. It's just you drowned instantly. You can do that. That's crazy stuff. There's also lore-friendly expansions. And what that effectively means is that you download an expand, or you download this mod, and it gives you an extra, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours of potentially fully voice-acted, fully choreographed, and, you know, spoken dialogue sort of filled extra content that doesn't infringe or sort of cramp the style of the original lore-friendly, you know, game, the original stories. So when I first started replaying it, I got to a point and I accidentally downloaded a mod like this. I didn't realize what it was. I downloaded a mod like this and I noticed something was weird because one of the voice actors was, it's like they phoned it in sort of. It was like you can hear it, but it was processed a little bit. And it didn't seem up to snuff, like up to, you know, AAA quality like Bethesda's used to, or that I'm used to. And I played the entire thing, and I think I got 4 or 5 hours out of it, and it was super awesome. And then I realized somebody made this. Somebody that's not a game, a developer, or whatever, made this just totally for fun or whatever. I think he actually ended up getting hired by Bethesda, now that I think about it. He showed him, he was like, here's a mod I made. You might like it. I can't remember what the guy's name is or what the mod was. I know it was underground. It was in the Dwemer ruins. But I played it, and I was just amazed that a game, 2011, now 5 years old, going on 6 years old, that I got for very cheaply, you know, was keeping me from spending $60 to buy Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I really wanted, but I didn't want to spend $60 for. And I said, what can I do to fill, again, because I've only played like, 10 or the top 10 of my Steam games over 8 hours. What can I spend a ton of time playing and I won't burn out? Because I think, Chet, that's what you were talking about. We were talking about the idea of short attention spans and getting burned out in a game that you're not enjoying anymore. And I wanted to keep enjoying the game. Skyrim is it. Like, Skyrim's that right now. And if you want some like Wastelander, you know, more future-based thing, I think we were talking about Space Engineers. Space Engineers is another game, huge community, still in sort of the building stage, early access, but, I mean, it's stable. If they stopped building it right now, it would still be a fun game for years and years and years because of the community. You, Garth, you had mentioned Starbound.
Yes.
Starbound is a fantastic multiplayer, single-player game that they're always adding to.
Still in development.
Still in development, which is kind of weird because it's still sort of expensive. You know, you can buy, I think, Skyrim and all the DLC for about the same price you can spend on Starbound, but the nice thing is Starbound's a builder. It's almost a sandbox game. We can say that for any sandbox game. We can say it for like Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, you got the store, then you have GTA Online, and then you've got all of the other stuff that you can do for it, all the mods that eventually will come out if they're not out already for GTA. You've got games like Terraria. You've got games like Garry's Mod. It's mod is in the name. It's in the title of the game, you know, and it used to be free, but now it's not. Tons. I would say like hundreds of thousands of mods, probably. That's not a fact. I haven't checked it. But hundreds of thousands of mods for Garry's Mods. 10, I guess it's on the 10th iteration now. Officially supported via Steam. They usually like throw it out there, like, hey, you want to spend $3? Buy Garry's Mod or whatever. And it's been out for a long time. And it uses the Source engine, and you could just do tons of stuff, multiplayer or not. Which is really, really nice. I think people do Machinima with it even. They take and they do before Source Filmmaker came out, and you can like actually do cinema with that. They would like do stop motion animation, or they would queue up and key the motions and be characters. And you know, I remember I saw it was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was an Eve and Garry's Mod collaboration sort of thing, where the internals of the ship were in Garry's Mod, and then the externals was in Eve, and it was this Eve story that they used, you know, Garry's Mod to help kind of create. And it was really cool because that's something else. You know, we talk about playing the game and experiencing the game, but we play games because we can't do that in real life. That's a big part. You know, it's enjoyment. It's entertainment. Anything that wastes your time in an enjoyable way, that's a good return on that investment, provided you didn't spend much on it. You know, if you put $3, oh, I spent 80 hours in something I spent $3 for, you got your money back and then some, son. I mean, like, that's what we're talking about now. So do you have anything to add? Any more games you want to talk about before we cut to?
We should probably mention Warcraft 3.
Oh, yeah, Warcraft 3. I forgot about that completely.
That mod
it sort of started it.
Category.
Yeah, and we were talking about League earlier. Warcraft. It's really, really crazy that I played Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 2, and again, those are games that sort of don't hold up. Warcraft 3 still totally does. And there's a ton of mods out there, you know.
All the MOBAs came from Dota.
From Dota. Yeah. There's another Dota you could, you know, if you don't want to play League and you want to play Dota or Smite or any of those Korean free similar MOBA type things. So yeah, there's a lot of games out there. If you have any idea of a game that we shouldn't have mentioned or that we should have mentioned that we didn't mention, you can email me at mg@expoints.com, and you know, we might feature that in the next version of this, because there's a ton of games, like literally every game before right now could be featured in this spot. So we're gonna do songs, come back and end out the entire hour. This is "And the Songbird Sings" by Dan Bull, and we're gonna come back to Andrew Volk with "Gaming Ain't No Game." We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG, and you're listening to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU.
The voices who are unheard, who never.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still experience points, but not for much longer. I'm MG, and we've had Garth and Chet with us for the entire hour. So, guys, thank you so much. You're excellent sort of quiet co-hosts, but I appreciate it. If you would like to say goodbye now, that'd be great.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was "Gaming Ain't No Game" by Andrew Volt before that, and "The Songbird Sings." We're all out of time. It happens every week, but you know what? We're going to be back next week from 9 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday. That's where we're at. If you can't wait till then, check us out online at exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We have a social media website as well, exppoints.com/social, for Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, and et cetera, et cetera. If you'd like to give us money, there's buttons. You can do that. You'll find them. You'll see them. You'll do it. And if you want to save us and save us for later, I guess, iTunes and Stitcher for all of your awesome podcasting needs. We're going to leave you with "I Fight Dragons," "Heads Up, Hearts Down." We'll catch you next week. I'm MG. This has been Experience Points, exclusively on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU.